Sunday the 12th of September 2021, Ivan McLean, Gospel, Ballymena Gospel Hall.
I would just like to welcome you all this afternoon to the drive-in here today at the showgrounds. We appreciate you coming, and it's nice to see another nice Sunday afternoon that we can listen to the Word of God. Just do keep in mind that the restrictions of COVID are still in operation, and remain in your vehicle unless there's any emergency, give an indication to the stewards, and no doubt that they will be able to sort that out. Before we just read from the scriptures, we're just going to commend ourselves to the Lord in prayer. So shall we just pray for a wee moment, please? Thank you. Our God and Father in heaven, we bow again before thee today in the worthy name of our Lord Jesus Christ, thy Son. We thank thee that he is the one whom this message of the gospel centers around. Thy word reminds us that the gospel of God concerns his Son, Jesus Christ, and we're thankful for the opportunity another time today to share this message, to speak well of the Lord Jesus Christ, the man of Calvary. And we trust that we will have helped to make much of him today. He himself said, I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to me. And we trust that today in the presentation of the gospel, he will be magnified. And that those that are listening today under the sound of our voice, that they will pay attention to thy word. And any that are not yet thine and not yet saved, that they will come and trust today in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. We thank thee there's enough in his work to meet the vilest of sinners, and we're thankful today that we can extend this message to whosoever believes on the Son. Thy word guarantees will have everlasting life. And so we just commit the moments that we are together to thee. We pray that thou wilt bless thy word today as we return our thanks for our Lord Jesus Christ in his own worthy and precious name. Amen. I would just like to read a fairly well-known phrase from the Bible. It's found in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 23, and it's part of verse 33. And it says these words, and when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. That's worth repeating. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. That place called Calvary has a significance of itself. To some here today, it's a very important place. They may never have physically been there, but by faith they have appreciated what took place on an occasion at Calvary. Perhaps there's someone listening to me today, and as yet it means nothing to you. It's just a name associated with the Bible, associated with the Christian message, and as such there's nothing that really special about the place called Calvary. For a few moments this afternoon I want to consider it and trust that it will be used by God, this little phrase, to bring the message of salvation to someone here today. This weekend in particular, there has been quite a lot of publicity, and rightly so, of an event that took place at a particular location 20 years ago. Yesterday, 9/11, or the 11th of September, 2001 was, to say the least, an historic event. There may be someone listening to me and you weren't even born then. And so rather, it doesn't mean maybe much to you other than a place in a textbook. But I dare say there are people listening to me today and you can well remember where exactly you were when the news hit your ears of the atrocity that happened at the Twin Towers in New York. As I read some of the media presentation in the days leading up to this, a particular phrase caught my attention. Someone put these words, a day that changed the world. And indeed it was a day that changed the world. Historically, it changed the world. Politically, it changed the world. For many families, their particular world was changed forever because of the atrocity and the events that took place on the 9th, the 11th of the 9th, 2001. I want today to talk to you about another day that changed the world. A day that took place not in New York, but in the land of Israel, outside the city of Jerusalem, at a little hill called Calvary. May I tell you, that place is sweet to the Christian. And I used to sing as a little boy, quite a few years now, there's a place that is so sacred, it's called Mount Calvary. It's just outside Jerusalem, where Jesus died for me. Can I stop just and ask you, can you say that today, that Jesus died for me? Because, you know, I'm not really here, and while I've appreciated the invite and I'm glad to be able to speak the gospel, I'm not really interested in how well or otherwise you think I might speak. But I'm here today with a little burden in my heart for someone sitting in the car that I really can't see. But you're not going to heaven. And you might as a child have sang the words, Jesus loves me, this I know. But today you cannot say truthfully, Jesus died for me. I want to take you by faith again to Calvary's cross and think of a day that changed this world. I want to consider a day of suffering. The Bible reminds us in 1 Peter 3 and 18, for Christ also hath once suffered. And yes, I accept that all those 20 odd years ago, much suffering took place in many lives. But today I want to take you to 2,000 odd years ago, where there was a day of suffering. Suffering, that's where the Bible reminds us, sufferings that were essential. Because the little Gospel of Mark reminds us that Christ must suffer many things. And on that occasion, people hated Jesus Christ without any reason. They had no just cause to hate him. If they had even witnessed what he had done, the marvelous works that he performed, many's a time my imagination would propel me back in time, and I'd love to have been there to witness him change water into wine, to feed a multitude from a little boy's lunchbox, to do miracles that I'd never seen happen before, and I would have been in awe at the wonder of this person. And yet, the Bible tells us he was despised and he was rejected of men. And they hated him. Well, you say, Ivan, but I don't hate him. Can I challenge you on that statement? Do you know him as your personal Savior? Oh, well, you say, well, I wouldn't just like to go as far as that. Well, then, my friend, let me be really straight with you. You either love him with all your heart or you despise him. Because if you loved him, you would accept him as the one who gave himself for you. And today, you sit perhaps or stand wherever you might be, and you're not in Christ. You have never trusted him. And the wonder of it is this, that on a day many years ago, he suffered. Listen to that verse again. Christ also hath once suffered. But it goes on. It says he suffered for sins. He the just, for us the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Not only were those sufferings essential, they had to be fulfilled in the plan of God to bring us back to him, because there's absolutely no way, and dare I be speaking to someone, and you think you can obtain brownie points with God just by attending a little meeting like this, or perhaps you think that you can obtain favor by God by kind of keeping in the company of Christians, because you know the devil's subtle enough to try to make you believe that. But my friend, there's absolutely nothing you can do to bring yourself back to God, because your sins and my sins, the Bible says, they've separated between us and God. And good works will never save us. We used to sing it as children. No merit of your own can purchase your salvation or for your sins atone. There's one who has already suffered for our sins. And I just pray that you might grasp the simplicity of that today. My sins have separated me from God. Nothing I can do can bring me back to him. But he suffered for my sins in order to bring me to God. Oh, the beauty of the gospel message that tells me not only these sufferings, they were essential, but remember the Bible tells us the sufferings of Christ were extreme. Listen to what the prophet says. Isaiah 52 says, his visage, appearance, was so marred more than any man. And you know what happened, my friend, that day at Calvary's cross? The crowd despised him. They hurled insult and abuse at him. The soldiers abused him. They took him and they plucked the hairs from off his face. Now just think about it for a moment. They didn't do it nice and gently. With all the vigor and the strength in their power, they pulled those hairs from off his blessed cheeks. They beat him with their fists. They spat on his face. They mocked him by plaiting a crown of ugly thorn and beating it down onto his head with a reed. Oh, the hatred in the heart of man. You say, I wouldn't have done it. I wouldn't have been party to it. And yet you're not saved yet. And yet you haven't taken sides with Christ. You see, my friend, I have to be really straight with you. There was only two groups of people round the cross that day. There was a small group of people who loved him with all their heart. He was their special friend. And there was a crowd of people and they despised him with all their heart. Now, which camp are you in today? Do you take sides with Christ against yourself? Or do you go with the crowd? Because remember, they said, away with him. And really, that's what you've been saying. If I could speak to you one-to-one, friend, and I would do it with all the love that's in my heart, but I would have to tell you the fact you're not saved today is because you've said to God up until now, I don't want this man to reign over me. Now may that sink in, and may the Spirit of God drive that home to you today, that you are just as guilty as the crowd that despised him on that day many years ago. And those sufferings that men inflicted upon him, they displayed their hatred of their heart. Ah, but more, when the sun should have been shining at its very brightest, God turned off that sun. There was darkness over all the land. Do you know what amazes me? And I praise God each day that he ever went to Calvary. But this amazes me. Listen to these words, my friend, if you want to trust the Savior. It's not difficult. Don't let anything distract you for a minute. Listen to the message of God. Listen. God laid on him the sins of us all. Amazing. God punished his son. The divine stroke of judgment against sin, instead of falling on Ivan McLean, fell on the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? Oh, I accept that as the truth. Will you not do that today? Will you not just acknowledge before God, wherever you are, I am the sinner, but Jesus died in my place at Calvary, and God has punished him, and when he has got punished, I'm free. You see, the Bible says he was wounded. He was bruised. He was chastised. And by his stripes, I'm healed. You see, if you really want to be saved, you can be saved today. There are people who try to tell me, well, you know, I can't understand it and I can't get round my head round this and I can't feel the right feeling. And you know what? That's only a lot of old nonsense. The devil will use that to keep you going down the broad road as quick as you can. Man, if you were to stop today in all honesty and let your pride go out the window and just see yourself as God sees you, a guilty, helpless, hell-deserving sinner, hopeless. You would cling for a straw, and the lifeline has already been thrown out to you. Here it is, my friend. I was a guilty sinner, but Jesus died for me. Oh, he suffered. It was a day of suffering. The sufferings, they were essential. They were extreme. But thank God they're ended. On the cross, he lifted his voice, the sinless Savior on the cross, and he cried, "Finished." Finished. What's that mean? It just means there's nothing more to do. Any of you that know me, you would know me. I'm a kind of what you would call thieveless when it comes to do a handy bit of a job. I'm not a very DIY person. I could hardly hammer a nail in through it. So I'm dependent on people to help me. And if I asked you, who are a lot more experienced and better at it than I am, to do me a wee job, and you present it to me, and you say, "There you go, Ivan. That's it. It's all finished." What would you think if I lifted a chisel or a screwdriver and went over and had a wee... You would say, "Man, don't touch it. You'll only spoil it. The whole thing's finished. Just take it as it is." Do you know what some of you are doing? You're trying to add a wee bit to what God has already accepted as a finished work. Trying to come to a wee meeting, pray a wee bit better, clean your life a wee bit out. Friend, you'll only spoil it if you could add anything to it. All the doing has been done. It's finished. Christ proclaimed it when he was on the cross and rang that rang out right from the depths of hell to the dome of heaven. The work's done, my friend. Just you rely on what God has already accepted. And God says, "He that relieth, he that believeth, he that dependeth," but whatever word you want on it. But God just says, "You rest where I've rested, and you'll have eternal life." Will you do it? Will you trust him? What a day that changed the world all those years ago could change your life. It could change your destiny if you would just trust him today. A day of suffering. Then I thought it was a day of silence. You see, I read that once those planes had hit those towers, and once the fires had gathered their pace, and unfortunately once the buildings had collapsed, it's reported that there was an eerie silence hit New York. I'm reminded the Bible says he was led as a lamb to the slaughter and as a sheep dumb before her shears, yet he opened not his mouth. My Savior was submissive in going to Calvary. He didn't retaliate. He didn't make a song and a dance about being arrested. They took him and roughly manhandled him into Pilate and before Herod. And they marveled when they put accusation after accusation that he gave them no answer. But willingly, he went as a lamb to the slaughter, knowing everything that would take place before him. Do you know why he did it? Because he loved you and me. He loved you and me so much that he was willing to give himself a sacrifice on our behalf. And there you are. You've heard it so often. And you've walked away or driven away week after week. And you've heard that God loves you and that Christ died for you. And you still will turn your back on God. How do you think the God of heaven thinks of your attitude, my friend? Why not today throw your pride away and acknowledge he loved me, and he gave himself for me. Not only was the Savior silent, but I'm reminded as I read the Gospels that heaven was silent. On the cross, the Savior said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" No answer came. No answer came from heaven. Do you know what the answer was? The hymn writer has put it like this: "It was because my sin on him by God was laid." I tell you, the God of heaven care so much for the individual here in the showgrounds in Ballymena. And he wants you to be in heaven. He doesn't want you to be lost in hell. Mind you, if you find yourself there, you'll have nobody to blame but yourself. For the God of heaven, who cares and loves the sinner today, has given his own son. And he was wounded on the cross. He was punished. And heaven was silent. Heaven did not intervene. And the punishment that should have fallen on that sinner's head fell on the Saviour. And because the sinless Saviour dies, my sinful soul is counted free. I trust if you're going to heaven, you're happy today. I trust as you hear the good news of the gospel, it ignites a flame in your heart. And if it doesn't, go round the foundation and check, because the Bible says, unto you therefore which believe. He's precious. If he's precious, he's yours today. Oh, the gospel message should warm the heart of the Christian, but it should warm the heart of the sinner. Because you've turned your back on God all these days. But why not just today? Why not accept him and start for heaven? Not only was it a day of suffering, I thought of a day of silence, but I thought it was a day of substitution. Now, I know that's a big word, but I think that most of you understand what it is. It was a day of substitution. Listen to what the Bible says. The Son of God, he loved me, and he gave himself for me. Mind you, there's no simpler message. He gave himself for me. There was a man that day, he was a criminal. He had been found guilty. He had murdered. He'd stolen. He should have been put to death. His name was Barabbas. But Barabbas walked free. Barabbas did not die that day because someone else took his place. I read about 9/11 of a fireman who was scheduled for duty on the 11th of September. He'd taken not well the night before. He rang one of his mates who took his shift. His mate sadly perished in that disaster, and he reported the fireman who took ill. He said, he took my place and he died instead of me. Should have been me. It should have been Barabbas. Ah, but come closer, friend, it should have been you, because the Bible teaches our sins deserved eternal death. But the beauty of it is, but Jesus died for me. You see that wee word for? Instead of. On behalf of. He died instead of me. Can you grasp it? I'm sure there's nothing that hard about it. You know, God doesn't make salvation difficult. But the devil threw all the obstacles of the day to make you think this or that or the other thing. My friend today, will you just be simple to take God at his word? He, she that believes has. That's it. Now don't add anything to it. God says to you today, he died for the sinner. Well, I'm the sinner. Then he's died for me and I believe God. God says you have eternal life. You can have it today. Someone has penned the words, what kind of love is this that gave itself for me? I am the guilty one, yet I go free. Ah, that's it today. I should have died. I should have been punished because my sins, and you know you've sinned. So there's no point in me trying to picture it all. You know exactly without me saying that God's correct when he says all have sinned. You might butter yourself up and make yourself better than the wee woman down the street or the man across the road, but really you know, as I know, who you really are. And you know you've come short of the standard of God. And you know that you can't get into heaven the way you are, even though you pretend you think you can. But God says you've sinned and you're guilty. But his son took the guilty sinner's place. He suffered in our stead. And I can say in truth today, for me, what a miracle of grace. It was for me that the Savior bled. That's salvation today. You see, a day that changed the world, it was a day of suffering. It was a day of silence. It was a day of substitution. But finally, it was a day of salvation. There were many who lost their lives in New York that day, but many were rescued. Many were delivered. Many got saved. What a wonderful day this would be if this would be a day of salvation for you. Here's when it is. Listen to what the Bible says. Behold, now is the day of salvation. You know, as I get a little bit older, and as I listen to the gospel message being proclaimed and watch people grow up listening it from they were no height, the sad reality has dawned upon myself. There's no urgency to get this thing settled. But God's urgent. God wants you to trust Christ today. I'll tell you, there's two reasons. Death's in every one of our track. When we were a bit younger, we maybe didn't think too much about it. But when the old grey hairs come in, or maybe the hairs disappear, you start to think a wee bit more about it. I tell you, my friend, you know not the day of your death. Are you ready to leave this world to the next? And more, the Lord himself's coming back. In some glorious daybreak, Jesus will come. He's going to give a shout. And it's only those who are saved and born again and washed in the blood of the Lamb that'll respond to that shout. And you can have the car. And you can have the house. You can take whatever you want because you'll have missed heaven. Now that's the reality of it. That's why it's urgent. And that's why right now you will make a choice wherever you are, in the car or outside. But you're going to make a choice. You be very, very careful what you choose just now. Because the decision you make with Christ now may very well determine where you will be forever. God offers salvation right now. There's no delay. Rescue is offered. But you must accept it. What will you do with Jesus today? A day that changed the world. I trust we never have another catastrophe like it. As far as New York was concerned. But I'll tell you, we'll never have another day like Calvary, because the Bible tells us Christ has once suffered for sins. He'll only do it the one time. It's absolutely sufficient, never needs to be repeated. But the choice is now yours, my friend. What will you do with him just now? Will you bow your heart and acknowledge before him, he took my place. I'm the guilty one, but I can go free. Because he died instead of me. Because when they came to the place which was called Calvary, they crucified him there. But in the plan of God, salvation was provided and it's offered for you just now. So I trust that as you have heard these words, that the Spirit of God might use them to convict you and make you realize the urgency of it, and go in for salvation. Don't procrastinate and delay, but accept the Lord Jesus Christ now. Trust in him. Rely on him. Depend on him. And God says, he that believeth, he that dependeth, he that accepts, has everlasting life. I want to thank you for your reverent attention that has been given to the Word of God. And just before I would pray, I would remind you that there will be, in the will of God, another drive-in meeting here next Sunday afternoon at 3:30. And the speaker expected on that occasion is Mr. David Ratcliffe from Belfast. If you're free, you'd be very welcome to come back again and encourage others, if you can, to come along. But do not, if you're not saved, do not put off salvation until then. because this announcement is made subject to the will of God, and that meeting announced may never take place if the Lord comes back. Thank you for listening. Again, we'll just commit ourselves to the Lord in prayer before we go, and if you follow the instructions of the stewards, they will make sure you get out safely. Thank you for your attention. Heavenly Father, we give our thanks to thee again for the Lord Jesus Christ, the only Saviour of sinners. And we pray, our Father, that today that someone will think about what they have heard from thy word and come in simple faith and put their trust in the man of Calvary and accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Saviour. And so we just commit thy word to thee. And as we leave these premises, we pray to take us safely to your homes as we give our thanks again for our Lord Jesus Christ. In his own worthy and precious name. Amen.